And welcome back to Married with Children, the podcast. Was supposed to be on Facebook Live tonight. our internet went down about an hour and a half ago, so we don't have access to the internet. So we're recording this and going to publish this out later. But like I've told some people, I was messaging on Facebook when I posted that we didn't have internet. We have power, and I know right now with all the storms that have rolled through, internet and television is the last thing anyone is worried about because, you know, it has been a crazy, crazy couple of days. So, Callie, we're back off of vacation.
Yeah.
No episode last week because we went
camping.
Sarah Land camping for the week and hanging out with the kids and the family. And so back in studio now. So before we introduce our guests and get into things, let's introduce our sponsors. Looking for a new tattoo? Looking for a professional piercer to add to your body art? There's no reason to drive to Indy or Louisville. Just visit Beauty from Ashes Tattoo Parlor in Crothersville, Indiana. Beauty from Ashes is located just past the Dollar General on Highway 31. Stop in and check out the amazing work done by all four artists at the shop. Each artist has a unique and personal style, but all do amazing work. The shop is family friendly, so don't hesitate to bring your kids or loved ones with you when you stop by to get some ink. Check out all the artists' work on their Facebook page and book an appointment today with either Kyle, Martha, Billy, or Lily. You won't be disappointed. Beauty from Ashes Tattoo Parlor, Crothersville, Indiana. We've all heard horror stories about insurance companies and insurance agents. Let me tell you about my family's agent, Tommy Taylor. Tommy is an agent at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance and is a multi-line agent that can keep all your insurance in one place. Why is a dedicated agent so important? When you have the unexpected occur, you'd much rather know the person on the other end of the phone. Contact info for Tommy, 812-372-4483 at extension 2447, or look him up on Facebook at Tommy Taylor, Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Don't be another horror story. Stop knocking on wood and relying on a 1-800 number. Trust Tommy Taylor today. Miller's Termite and Pest Control is the only place you need to look for pest control. Don't get roped into contracts or high prices with the big companies. Reach out to someone who cares about you. They can handle any problem from termites, bed bugs, ants, spiders, etc. They also do lawn care. Where else can you keep the bugs out of your house and your yard looking sharp? Reach out to them today on Facebook at Miller's Termite and Pest Control, email at pest_n_peace@yahoo.com, or by phone at 812-767-5657. And again, a big shout out to all of our sponsors that help us do what we do here on Married with Children, the podcast, and at APR Podcast Studios. So joining us today is local journalist Zach Spicer from the Tribune. Zach, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And I kind of want to start here with you because I'm going to give you a compliment right off. And this isn't just because you're sitting here. I truly, truly believe this. You do a great job of really covering some of the smaller communities in Jackson and Scott County and the surrounding areas because, and I'm not saying other people there don't, but it seems like you go and find stories in places like Crothersville and Valonia and Medora and really pull out some of the stuff that maybe would have gotten missed in other ways. So I want to start there. And obviously I know you're from the Austin area. So is that part of it, growing up in Austin, why you love that small town feel?
Yeah, that's what I've told other people. Anytime they say something about that, I'm like, I came from a small community, so I kind of just have that heart for small communities and just the people there. So,
and I want to talk about this before we kind of move on, because you know Austin has been put in a really tough light, and I think it's a very unfair light. There have been issues there, don't get me wrong, but every community...
Yeah.
The opioid epidemic is across the nation right now, and it's in any community you look in. Mm-hmm. But it's a really good community, and I think people are almost afraid to go in there. But you know, in the sense that afraid that it's this like Wild West, and it's not. It's a strong community. It's a community that I will give credit to for the people in Austin who didn't just hide the problem and push it off to the side. They accepted they had a problem and really led the charge in trying to make some change.
Yeah. I think too, if you're actually from there and you know the people from there and you know that a majority of them are good people,
right,
that you kind of put the negative to the side. That's just a very small percentage of the people in the community that maybe, you know, get into that stuff. But that's one thing. I mean, you know, it's so many people want to focus on that part of it, but I think you just have to just push that aside and just, you know, just know that the positive is there. And
some
pull the
people,
positive
they, and like you said, it's a small percentage mm-hmm. that have that negative, you know, connotation for that town, you know, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And sometimes people from the outside, they just see that, and that's all they see is the negative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I mean, like Dustin and I have both been in sports and, you know, playing and coaching. And I think, you know, Austin has a very big backing from the community for, you know, their school, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and so there are a lot of positives and things in that town and, yeah. you know, everything. But like you said, I think that a lot of times some people just look at it and see that negative, that mm-hmm. small percentage of the negative, and, you know, it kind of, it stinks.
Yeah.
I would agree with what you said, and I truly believe that there's a lot of even larger schools around here that would close or would be incorporated way before Austin would, because mm-hmm. Austin, though, that's their pride and joy, is that school. It's the community center down there, and it's a really cool atmosphere whenever you compete against them or you're at a game, how much the people love, you know, their athletes, oh, yeah. their students, and mm-hmm. their kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think any small community, you look at Medora, you look at Crothersville, you mm-hmm. look at Austin, I mean, everything revolves around the school, and if as much positive can come from the school, I think the better.
So. Well, and they're trying, I mean, they're doing stuff, you know, with the school with, what are they, I mean, because they pair with Crothersville with some of the stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. like.
They're getting associate's degrees. Yep.
So, I mean, like, degree. You know, I mean, like, there you go. I mean, like, they're trying to, you know, help keep that, you know, alive. And some of those kids, you know, maybe that associate degree is all they'll get, and then they'll move on and, you know, get a mm-hmm. job, and that helps them. And so, yep. I mean, that's the, you know, the positive stuff. And I think that's a kind of thing in a lot of small communities is mm-hmm. I'm sure there's negatives just like there are everywhere, but you know, sometimes people get a bad rap for that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
And I just think it's really cool that, you know, a lot of times, and I was the same way when I was in high school, I couldn't wait to get out of my hometown. It was, mm-hmm. you know, and I always used to joke, I said, I grew up in Mitchell, Indiana, another small town, and I said that I was never going to live in a one-stoplight town again. And I used to tell my students when I was teaching that I held true to that, because the first place I moved back to was Vernon, Indiana, and there were no stoplights. So I made it to where I had no stoplights. And but it's funny, we all think that, but when you truly get to an age that you look back on it, none of it was nearly as bad as what yeah. we probably thought. And mm-hmm. and that's what I appreciate about what you do is, you know, you do still shine a light on these small towns. And there mm-hmm. is good things going on in these small towns and yeah. good people who are trying to change them and make them for the better.
Yeah, I see that on a daily basis mm-hmm. pretty much. I mean, I cover so much with the schools and
yeah.
the towns, the events they have, the town meetings. There's a lot of good things and a lot of good people in these places if people would just focus on that and yeah. look at that. Look for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the cool things right here in Crothersville that I've seen is, you know, the article came out or the Facebook post came out about the Red, White, and Blue Festival was going to be the last mm-hmm. one, and it was done. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that it has to go this direction, but that's kind of today's, you know, world is it's a reactionary world, not, you know, proactive. And
yeah. mm-hmm.
and people were like, oh my gosh, no, now they're getting a committee. Now people want to help yeah. because yeah. they thought it was going to be gone.
Yeah. yeah.
When somebody else was going to do it, everybody was happy.
One or two people planning the whole thing and, you know, trying to organize all of that stuff, it, you know, yeah, but, I mean.
A lot of times that goes, it has to be the next generation of people stepping mm-hmm. up to do
yeah.
that stuff. Because
yeah.
sometimes you have, like, committees of people that's the older generation. And mm-hmm. then if you don't have the new people coming in, at least, you know, getting in there, being willing to serve. I mean, you have to have that for
yeah.
small
oh,
town
yeah.
communities to thrive, or their events or things like that, festivals or whatever to
yeah.
thrive. So,
yeah. yeah.
And that's one thing that I think we're finally getting back to. I do think there was kind of a lull there where younger generations weren't interested in getting involved in their small towns. And I mm-hmm. think we're finally seeing that come back to the point of, hey, this is home, you know, and
yeah.
and trying to, you know, I drive through Crothersville's downtown all the time, and I constantly think about the potential that's there. You know, yes, if you mm-hmm. drive through right now, it doesn't look great, but there's a ton of potential, because you can drive through other small town downtowns that they have little shops, they have things going on. I still believe, I know, you know, Kyle McIntosh and I talk about all the time when I'm around him, what we could do, what could be done, and
mm-hmm.
and there's good people trying to make some of that stuff happen, and it's an exciting
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So back to you. I started that all just because I do. I truly, truly appreciate. There's nothing better for me than opening my newspaper and getting to read a story about Crothersville, Indiana, and the things that go on right here around me. And I always, I always joke on here. Kyle McIntosh loves it, but I say we live in UCLA, Upper Crothersville, Lower Austin.
I've heard that before.
It's my region. So, but so obviously in journalism now, had that always been the dream, the goal that you wanted to be in journalism? How did we get here, Zach?
Well, I grew up with parents who both worked at the school in Austin. So my stepdad was an English teacher and English teacher. I'm going to get that right there. and my mom was a secretary at the school. So I think being around that environment, I always wanted to be an English teacher all the way up until about my junior year of high school. And I got involved in the school newspaper and kind of thought, oh, that's a area I could go into, journalism. Mm-hmm. So I totally switched, and that's what I stuck with.
So. Very cool. Which is still kind of the same, obviously, same realm, you know, just a little bit different. But that's really cool.
Yeah, English is not my strong suit.
Mine either. Obviously, I'm a math teacher, so English is way...
You still have to use good grammar. So,
yeah,
you
know. I know.
I'm a social studies teacher and now in administration. My assistant principal's an old English teacher, and she laughs every time. If I've got to send something out, I give it to her. And it usually takes 3 to 4 revisions before I've actually got it professionally prepared to send out. So I
at least she's on your staff to be able to help.
She is.
You.
She's vital. She is vital.
My stepdad used to be one that he would take up quarters if somebody said ain't in his classroom. So that's what he was kind of known for.
Oh,
so.
Gotcha. Interesting.
I like that. So you go to school, obviously, in journalism. You went to IU Southeast, correct? Mm-hmm. And yep. Okay. Were you part of the school paper there as well?
Yeah. When I started there, it was only a 2-year program, but I knew it was going to switch over to a 4-year program, and that's obviously what I wanted to do. So my second year, I had taken some classes my first year that ended up not counting because it was for the associate degree. But so I had to go 5 years. But yeah, part of it was you had to take a full year for the school newspaper. So I did do that down there. That was a class.
Oh,
so,
cool. Yeah.
Very cool. And then you come back up here. Was the Tribune the first place you worked?
Yes. I my previous job when I was 16, I worked at Walmart in Scottsburg. So I did that for 6 years and then ended up leaving there and was about a year in between jobs by the time I got down to school. I happened to go up to a journalism job fair at Franklin College in 2006. And I met the editor of the Tribune, Dan Davis, there. Mm-hmm. And talked to him a little bit. At the moment they weren't hiring full-time reporters, so they were looking for somebody to do freelance sports. So that winter, that's what I did, was cover basketball games. So mm-hmm. for that 2006-07 season.
I will also say this. I think this is the really interesting thing about you. We'll get more into this. You've really covered everything.
Yeah.
You have. And I know part of that is a smaller town newspaper, obviously. Yeah. But but also, I mean, like you said, you started out in sports. And I can remember you writing several sports articles, still do. Mm-hmm. But you've covered everything from, you know, Crothersville town hall meetings to basically whatever there's news at, you're involved with.
Pretty much. I mean... after I did that winter, it was basketball games. And then that next May of 2007, I started as a news reporter. Okay. That's what I started doing. And at the time, I was still living in Austin. So I think that's kind of how I got asked, hey, why don't you cover Crothersville meetings? It's on your way. So that's kind of how I got involved with that. I did that until the December of 2008. And then I became sports editor because our sports editor retired. So then I did that until September of 2014.
Yeah,
I was a sports editor, so covering all 5 high schools in the county, and just any other kind of sports related stories that were local. So I got to do that, and that was a lot of fun. So,
and it's the hours have to be just crazy,
especially with sports.
Well, I mean, because you're obviously it's like nights. I mean, it's you know you're attending the events and it's evenings and I'm sure you could have gone, you know, especially when you're talking, I mean, I guess really any season. I mean, you could probably be at a sporting event every night of the week.
Yeah.
Saturday. I mean, Sunday may be your only day off. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, because it's just like, I mean, with all the schools, you know, all 5 schools and everything, it's just like you.
Yeah, the best has to be when they play each other. At least you get
then you can hit 2 for 1. Yeah.
A lot of times it was like, oh, you think, oh, I'll have Wednesday off this week. Nobody will schedule anything on a Wednesday, but of course, that's what would happen. So
yeah,
it
yeah.
was usually a 6 day a week thing, and Saturdays were the longest days a lot of times, yeah, because sometimes you could cover something in the afternoon or morning and then at night. But then when you got to get back to the office to write all that,
well,
and
yeah.
then call what
yeah.
you didn't go to. So I can remember several days whenever we used to have our old deadlines that I was at work all day and then was still at work and leaving work when the sun come up the next day.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
Those Saturdays were some long ones, so yeah, I don't really miss that part.
I mean,
of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, obviously, I'm just thinking, I was initially just thinking like attending the events, but then you've got to go, like you said, you've got to write about the events that you were at, mm-hmm. and then you've got to write about the events that you didn't get to go to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
what do you do? Like, how do you get the information for some of the events that you can't go to?
It's funny how it's changed because it used to be, you know, you'd call and get the information, yeah. write it down or type it.
You'd have contacts yeah. of some sort.
And it evolved into, oh, I'll email it to you. Or it evolved into a program that you can submit the statistics into. Or it now it has evolved into, oh, I'll take a picture with my cell phone
yeah.
of the scorebook or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
And they'll send it to you by text or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's funny how it's, just in that amount of time, how it's kind of changed.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And I say that, too, even from the other side, the coaching side. You know, when I first started, we were still making copies of VHS tapes to now.
And meeting people to trade it.
Driving hours to trade a VHS tape or a CD, DVD. And now, you know, all that is done online. It's crazy how fast that has ramped
like
up.
And it's just in a snap of a finger. You've got it switched. Yeah.
So in all of those things, what's some of your favorite areas to cover? What you know, in everything that you have covered, what do you really enjoy?
You know what I think I've been most impressed with is when I go into the schools, we do a ton with the schools. I mean, whether it's the sports or just activities they do, events they do, school board type issues, whatever it is. But it amazes me, and I don't know how many times I've probably said this, going to schools and talking to teachers, just what they come up with these days and what they have the kids do and just come. I mean, it amazes me, and I've said that to a teacher several times. I'm like, this is very impressive, you know, what different things that they come up with they do. So I just really impressed with all of the schools that we have and what all they do. I think that's always been fun to cover. You got to meet a lot of people through doing that.
Yeah.
So. And I'm going to kind of transition a little bit. What do you have some, during your time of doing this, some favorite stories that really stick out that you got to cover or interview people or whatever that just really hit home for you, was really important?
I don't mean to keep talking about sports, but that was a big chunk of my time at the Tribune. But one of the cool things with that really stands out to me, I got to cover a swimmer, Cameron Chastain, when he won the breaststroke at state. That was really fun to be there for that. And then that was also a meet where he competed in other events, and Seymour had several representatives there, so that was really fun. I got to cover, I know the gymnastics team in Seymour had some individuals that had gone to state in the past, but I got to cover their first team that went to state finals. I mean, that's a sport that kind of gets overlooked a little bit because there's not very many people involved with it, not very many schools that do
well,
it.
Well, and that's
but
the,
I'm
saying
that's, work.
That's the only school in the county that has gymnastics. You know, I mean, like, so I'm sure that it, regional, you know, for the county, it kind of does get overlooked because there's only a small percentage of kids that actually participate.
Or just, teams going to state. There was Brownstown had the boys team go 1 year and the girls go through 1 year. That was fun because the girls especially, I followed them all the way from winning sectional all the way up to the state finals. That was fun. There's been individuals go to track, state finals, that sort of thing. So I think just that kind of stuff's been fun to follow.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, and I'm fine with talking sports because that's a passion of mine too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's where a lot of people miss what high school sports can do, is seeing kids achieve at that top level. You know, even in my time, you know, in Jennings County across the border, you know, seeing Carrie Ertle win the state championship in the 300 meter hurdles and, you know, seeing our cross country teams represent us at state and wrestlers at state championship and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing to see the time and effort kids have put in and to see that culminate with an opportunity to compete against the best.
Yeah. One thing that sticks out to me, I can remember back in the day when we used to actually cover Little League in the summer. There was a team from Seymour that won the district and they got to go to state, and I got to go to Plainfield to cover them. And then years later, you're seeing these kids graduate from high school, and then they're going on to play college baseball or whatever it is. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. You know, you've been there a little too long, though, maybe.
When you see them age.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm starting to feel the same way in education when I start seeing some kids come back, and I'm like, you shouldn't be that old.
Yeah.
That's not possible. So, and then on the flip side of that, what are some of the toughest stories you've had to cover? And not like, I'm not asking you like, say, oh, this or that, but like, obviously journalism has both sides. And I think for you, it's even tougher being in a small town because, you know, if you're at the Chicago Tribune and you have to write a tough story on someone, you may never meet that person or you may never interact with that person. Here in Seymour in Jackson County, you're going to see them at the Jackson County Fair. You're going to bump into them at Walmart. You're gonna see these people. So so what are some areas where you had to have like these tough stories that were just hard to write?
One thing that stands out to me that I can think of when I was thinking of that question earlier was it was when I was a sports editor, and this just goes to show how versatile you have to be and on the spot you have to be. I was in the office coming back from covering sports that night. And there was only one other person that was actually whenever we designed the paper there. So a lady was there. She was the only other person there. And it came over on the police scanner that there was a car on fire out in kind of rural Seymour. So, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, well, this sounds like we need something that we need to go check out. And it ended up being the incident where the gentleman set the car on fire and the lady was still inside the vehicle, and it had been a domestic issue.
Yeah.
So that was really hard once you got there and you realized what you're covering. I mean, this is not easy, you know, to think about, you know, what had gone on and you know what I mean? And just in that moment, that was tough. Things like that are tough to cover.
And I would think it's not only is it tough to be there and you know, take in the facts, but again, just like we talked about with sports, you got to go back and sit down and
write
it. Try to put that into words for someone to read and understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's got to be a ton of pressure, and not pressure, but a ton of responsibility that you feel with that.
Yeah, I think you always have to keep families in mind whenever you're doing stuff like this, because you've got to be really sensitive about how you approach something or even talk to someone in a situation. I mean, I know there was another incident where there was a student had graduated from Seymour High School that got killed out on a wreck on I-65. And I think it was the next day or the few days later, they had a balloon release at the school for him and stuff. And I didn't really know his family or anything, but you had to. After that, I mean, you wanted to kind of get their perspective, but you didn't want to be intrusive.
Yeah.
But you want to just kind of give them an opportunity to say, you know, what type of person he was, so you can kind of, you know, share that with other people and focus on that. I mean, this was a horrible situation, but kind of be able to just give people a chance to kind of just open up. And you don't make them open up. You never want to make somebody tell their story, but just if they're comfortable with it, and, you know, and then you're able to kind of give them an opportunity to show what type of person he was in that instance or whatever. Yeah. So,
and you know, and I think that's something that is really powerful, even beyond that moment, because I know, you know, in some tragedies that we've had, you know, whether it's in my professional career when I was in high school or growing up, you know, I've flipped back through articles and found articles about friends that I've lost or things like that. And, you know, you get the chance to go back and read them, and it gives you that. Yes, it's still hard, but it is a warm feeling. You know, you remember how loved they were and what kind of person they were. And so I do think it's creating a little bit of a legacy for them, you know, and for that family to always kind of look back on.
Yeah, yeah.
So also, you know, this is kind of a, you know, to change the subject a little bit again. You know, there's a perception out there that newspapers are dying, you know, that it's an old media and it's dying. I still get a newspaper. I still enjoy getting a newspaper.
Really? And,
even though I will admit I probably read more online now than what I read in the newspaper, even though I still get a paper copy.
Yeah.
And I know there's probably some eco people out there that would probably tell me we'll just get rid of the paper. But when I have the opportunity to sit down and read the newspaper, I like that. It's just the online version is so much more convenient for me. So what's your perspective on that? Do you think it's a media that's dying?
I don't know if that's the case. I hope it's not, at least for us for a while.
Yeah.
But I know of an area paper, or I think there's an area community that went to that. I mean, it went to just having an online version. I mean, the benefit with that is, I mean, as soon as you get a story done or whatever you're working on, you don't have to wait, oh, this is going to run 3 or 4 days later or whatever, you know, if it's not a timely story or anything like that. But I'm like you. I mean, I've always been the type of person that wants to have something to read in my hand. But it has been interesting to see the shift in focus of, oh, you've got to get this stuff on Facebook and you got to get this stuff out on your website as fast as you can, because we're a newspaper that prints anything the next day. So the benefit of having a website or Facebook is you can go ahead and put that out there, maybe, or put part of the story least out there, let people know what's going on. But then, you know, the full story is going to run in the next day. So we do that. I mean, we find ourselves having to do that, honestly, to, you know, that TV stations have that capability and they're going on and putting that stuff out there. So it's like, you want, you know, you're a community paper, so your community people should be able to rely on you to go on there and say, you know, if they're curious about something that's happened or they've heard about something, oh, well, we want to go to the local newspaper first, not the Louisville or Indianapolis TV station. So we try to do a really good job of keeping on top of things and then getting the accurate information. And that's another thing. You got to be accurate. You don't want to just throw something out there to get clicks or whatever. You know, that's the wrong way to approach it. You've got to make sure you go through all your sources, get the right sources, the appropriate sources, and then be able to put that information out there to let people know about what's going on.
And that's what I was going to say. What you guys face and battle so much, at least from my perspective, is, you know, everybody is a journalist in a way now, and not professionally. I'm not at all putting down your profession, but everybody who thinks they have a cell phone and a social media
account, they'll post something on Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
They're posting news. And what we just talked about when we talked about the toughest stories to cover, that's where I struggle with a lot of that gets posted. It gets posted immediately in the moment, and there's not a lot of thought put into the families, what's going on in the situation, who else this might affect. Has the family even been notified yet? And this stuff's getting thrown up there, and it doesn't have that respect value put into it.
Right.
And that's why, for me, I think sometimes that day that it takes for you guys to check your sources and get it out, it's valuable. And you know, and I know that I'm big on telling people whenever you see something on Facebook to at least check where it came from. But I do appreciate the way you guys, you know, a lot of times I will be scrolling through Facebook and see something either you've posted or the Tribune's posted and go, you know, it's a preview to an article coming.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that's going to be in the paper tomorrow. I want to make sure that I read, you know, the couple that have struck me lately is, you know, Brandon Allman's a good friend of mine. You wrote a great piece on him and the Lady Braves basketball team. And I worked previously with Tim Taylor. I saw his article that came out about being the new Brownstown superintendent. So all of those, when I kind of see that preview, it reminds me, I want to log into the website and see the article.
And like you even said, I mean, like when something happens, you know, a lot of times you'll put like a little preview on Facebook, you know, I'll see it scrolling and, you know, it's, you know, full article to come in tomorrow's paper. I mean, like, but it at least gives me, you know, depending, you know, positive or negative, you know, I'm, you know, like, type of a story, you know, whether it was something good happened or bad, but, you know, like, at least gives us a tidbit of information about it. And like you said, I mean, that I know is accurate versus, you know, Jane Doe that's typing whatever on Facebook. I don't really know how accurate that is.
Yeah. A lot of times, like if it's a wreck or something like that related to the police, I mean, we have to wait on them, and they're a reliable source. So, and if anybody questions what you put out there, you can credit, you know, this is the police. They've gone through their proper procedures to get the information out there. It's accurate. So we can put it out there then. So we don't ever rush to put anything out there, because I remember there was one instance where we went and our photographer went and took a picture of a house fire, and it's hit or miss whether we're actually at the office when something like that happens, but that we were that day, and somebody, it was actually their house, and that was, they saw it on our Facebook, and they did, that's where they found out about it first.
Oh my gosh.
So it was a little tough from their perspective of trying to understand, hey, you know, they knew about this before I did. So that those kind of things are hard. So
and it is and it's a crazy age, because the expectation to pass on information is so strong. I know, you know, even working in school administration, and obviously the social media thing will fuel the rumor mill faster than anything I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. But, you know, so often I'll have parents that are frustrated with us at first that say, we should have known about this immediately. But what I always tell them is, we're still investigating it. Just like you said with the police and the procedures, we're going through our channels to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
We're not waiting 3 hours sitting in the office laughing, saying, we're going to wait and tell the parents about this later. We're doing our due diligence to make sure we have accurate information to give. But in today's world, a lot of times I think it feels like that because information is so freely shared that they're not, a lot of times they're not as worried about accurate information. They just want to be informed.
Yeah.
And you know, I still believe in the idea of, I'd rather you just come to me once and tell me exactly what happened than tell me one thing, then tell me you were wrong, and then, you know, constantly be changing the game. So
yeah, you don't want to have to be running a correction every day. Oh, we're sorry, we got this wrong. Or running a correction of a correction. That's never a good thing either. So you just have to go through your proper procedures too, and just and also your ethics.
Ethics
is a big thing. I mean, I mean, I'm sure every journalist takes a class in media ethics whenever you're in college. I mean, you just have to just do things right. I mean, it sounds so simple, but, you know.
It sounds simple, but for a lot it can be tough.
Yeah.
So I'll also ask you this. Obviously, you have continued to move up at the Tribune in several different supporting roles and different things you've done. Have you ever had a desire, and I'm not trying to put you in a bad spot with the Tribune, I know how much you love working there, have you ever had a desire to be at the Indy Star, or, you know, the Courier at Louisville, or, you know, the Chicago Tribune? I mean, is that something that would you know, be an ultimate life goal?
I think it also, if I was somebody that went to school or went to college in Indianapolis or something and had those connections, those schools probably, people from those schools probably get those opportunities a lot more and easier. And it's a different day and age now where a lot of students in different areas can be connected to jobs a lot easier than whenever I was in school. But I think it would be fun, because especially if you have an interest in that, like, again, I'm not somebody that played sports or anything, but I took an interest in it once I started covering it and everything. So I always thought, you know, I'm a fan of the Colts and the Pacers, so I always thought it would be cool if you could somehow get some type of job with them. I think doing some type of writing or public relations or something would be fun for something like that, but I'm not out there, you know, currently searching for anything like that or anything like that. But, you know, I think it would be fun to do it, you know, but I'm happy with what I'm doing now.
The one thing I would think with, you know, like the bigger papers is you would have to be more like just on one type of a topic. Like you are able to, you can write, I mean, you kind of have that freedom. Obviously you've been there for a while. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff. You know, like we said, you do stuff with schools and, you know, towns and festivals and sports. I mean, like, so, I mean, I don't know. I guess you tell me, would in like a bigger newspaper, you would probably, I mean, you would only cover like, you know, one certain, whether it was a certain area or a certain, you know, topic, I guess.
I mean, you see a lot of the bigger papers, I mean, with sports, they'll have certain writers, they'll just follow a certain team, same team all the time.
Yeah.
But the good thing with like a small town newspaper like ours is you're seeing Brownstown play somebody one night and maybe Seymour the next night, or it's a totally different sport. Or with news now, I mean, one night you're going here, or some days I'm going to Brownstown, Crothers, and Maduro all in one day. So it's fun, though. I would rather do that than just all the time have to be doing the same thing. And a lot of times if you're working for those newspapers, you might, what they call a beat, you'd be a beat writer. So that's all you cover.
Yeah.
So you don't get to go out and do those things.
Right.
So I like having the variety. I think it's one of the best parts of the job.
And I agree, because I'm always jealous. I'm a Chicago fan, and Mike Greenberg, who used to be on Mike and Mike in the Morning, now is on Get Up or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I've not watched it much now since he's left. But he always talks about when he was writing for the Chicago Tribune in the 90s, during the Jordan heyday era, and he was the Bulls reporter for them. So he traveled with the team. He was in the locker room with the team. And to me, being a Jordan, huge Michael Jordan fan,
you're like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds
living
like
the dream.
It sounds like the greatest job you could ever have. But then as I've gotten older and I've thought about it, that run from about 2000 to 2008 when they were awful, that sounds like one of the most miserable jobs. Because when you're walking in
the
locker room
the bad.
Every day and going, so what happened? We lost again. Yeah. That's not nearly as much fun as watching, you know, Jordan, or even talking to the Colts when Manning was there and they're popping champagne bottles and winning championships. I mean, that I think that would be a tough thing too. If you get put on that where it's a decade of struggle, I think that's a tough beat to have to work as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, you'd have to be kind of creative. Okay. Well, how am I going to turn this into a positive?
Another loss.
They're 0-18 now. What do I do with this? You know? Yeah. I mean, I think you'd have to, you'd have to definitely be creative. That's for sure.
Yeah. For all those, and thank goodness they've gotten some wins now. For all those riders in Cleveland for all these years. It's been a struggle. So I think that's really tough. So before I get in, I've got a whole different subject I do want to talk to you about. But what's some things coming up that you're excited you're covering? Or if you've got a story you're working on that you could give away a little hint, but what are some things you're excited to cover here coming up?
I'm trying to run through my calendar on my desk in my mind.
I know,
here.
Right?
There was one story I'm happy to share that I haven't been able. I talked to him several weeks ago, but there's a student from Crothersville that tours. He's a tour manager for a Christian band now. That was just kind of a random story. Somebody suggested I had followed this kid whenever he was in another local band and got to know him and everything going through school. So those are always kind of fun to do stories to do as well. You think, oh, well, you just cover these kids while they're here in the community or whatever, once they're done with high school. But it's fun to go back and see those success stories and be able to share those. Those are fun. So that's one I'm looking forward to sharing here soon. I've gotten to do that a lot, whether it's athletes or whether it's just any other. They've gone on and accomplished good things academically in college, and you kind of get to let the community know, hey, this is where this person is now. This is what they've done. And also, one question I always like to ask with those people is, okay, you're from Seymour, Crothersville, Medora, Brownstown, whatever it is. If there's other kids in this community that read this or see, hey, he or she's done this, what advice would you give to them? That's always a fun question to end the story with. So just to kind of show, hey, you know, if they can do it, I can too, if I put my mind to it and work hard. So,
well, and one cool connection that we have, and I've talked about him a couple times on here, but you wrote a story a couple years ago about Kyle McIntosh when he first opened the moved to his new location, the tattoo shop, and had Celebrate Recovery in there and had was doing the Wednesday night Bible studies as well. And you wrote a great article about him, and it was funny. I read the article. We had just started doing this, and I just happened to go down there one day, and I said, man, we're doing this podcast. I want to have you on. I read this article. I want to know more. Mm-hmm. And we got him on here, so I just rode your coattails and brought him right on here. And and it's been really cool because it spawned a real friendship for Kyle and I. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done several tattoos for me, and a lot of times I just go down just to talk with him because so it's cool to me, and I want you to know that you really do have that power in what you do is connecting communities. I know sometimes it can feel like probably from your perspective, you write this story and then you don't see what comes out of it. But that story right there connected Kyle and I and created a great friendship between the two of us. And, you know, he's a sponsor of the podcast. I try and help him any way I can down there at the shop, and we've done some things for them. But so what you're doing is helping change communities.
Yeah, that was a story another reporter of ours, January Rutherford, had done about the Bible classes that he had done down here. But one story I had done with him is there was a group of ladies that have children with Down syndrome, and they came down to
Inspire
his shop.
Inspire Grounds, yep.
Yeah. No, this was a group of ladies from Seymour area.
Okay.
And,
they all have children with Down syndrome, and they came and got the same tattoo together.
Oh.
So that was they did that at his shop, and I come down and did that story and got to – that was the first time I think maybe that I had met him in person. And then later he did the community Thanksgiving meal, and I did that story and a lot of the things he's done for the school and stuff. So it's been neat to see, though, that – that's an example of somebody, okay, yeah, you could do a story about them whenever they come into a community and open a business or whatever. But then they're also getting into the community and giving back to the community. So that's, I mean, he's just one example of anybody. There's a lot of people that have done that in the county. And those are fun stories to cover.
Yeah, he always cracks me up because a lot of times I'll get a message, I'll look at my wife, and I'll say, Kyle's got a crazy idea. And she's like, what? And we're going to do a Thanksgiving meal. He wants help with this or that. So it's been really cool to see what he's done. So I do want to transition completely off the journalism thing and go into another passion that I know you have, and that's the Special Olympics.
Okay. Yep.
And I know I've seen you posting a ton. You volunteer with the Special Olympics. So first of all, how'd you get involved with Special Olympics?
One thing I'll start off with, it's funny that I tell a lot of people this. I'm like, I don't get paid a dime for Special Olympics because I'm a volunteer and all of us are volunteers, but I probably get maybe more so out of that than I do my paid job. So that I just want to start with that. I tell a lot of people that, and I'm completely honest when I say that as well. It kind of stemmed a little bit from my job because I had covered some of the schools do the Champions Together program that starts on like the elementary school level and middle school level. And I got to cover a few of those events where high school kids were or middle school kids, you know, or well, even some elementary kids for that matter, were getting to help kids with special needs. And we went and covered those events. And I just kind of sat back whenever I was at those events and I was like, wow, this is really neat to see just this positive interaction. I'm all about positivity. And like whenever I see something like that, I'm just drawn to it. So it always really stuck with me. And then in the fall of 2017, I was looking on Facebook one day and saw where there was people looking to fill a committee to get Special Olympics started here again. It hadn't been there since, I think, early 2016. It hadn't been gone away too long, but it had really dwindled to where there was hardly any participants or organization to it. And there was a parent that actually sent their child up to a program in Bartholomew County to participate, but they were commuting from Seymour all the time to go back and forth, and they contacted the state. They took it upon themselves to contact the state, said, hey, we want to get this started back here again. So I happened to come across that, and it listed the what they call a county management team, which is just a committee of people, but just with different positions, and one of them said public relations. And I thought, well, that goes right into with what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be easy for me to be able to help them get the word out about Special Olympics through the newspaper. So I volunteered to fill that position and went through the online training and got started with it. And we got started officially with something in March of 2017. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, we at Jennings County, I know Seymour does as well. We have the unified track. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the coolest events that I've ever seen and gotten to be a part of. But I always talk about, you know, some of our students with special needs in the high school, when I'm having a bad day, when it's just, you know, something's happened, that's where I go. I go to the special needs classrooms, and I sit with those kids. I go to PE with those kids. I eat lunch with them because the reward, like you just said, that it will put a smile on your face faster than anything you do. And it the hugs that I get when I walk in that classroom, it means everything to me. There's nothing better than those kids. And when you get to see them smile and them feel like they're a part of it, it's even more amazing.
Yeah, inclusion is a special thing. That's what I always think of, the first word. I mean, that's what they used to call the meet that the high school had, would be inclusion revolution, that they would have. It was kind of the unified type event and everything. So it's a really cool thing also to see, though, that schools take this seriously and they want everybody to have an opportunity.
Yeah.
That's what everybody deserves. So, I mean, why wouldn't you support that? So,
yeah,
absolutely. And if somebody wants to get involved and volunteer and help, how can someone get involved with Special Olympics?
Yeah, we're always looking for to grow our program. I mean, it's for, in terms of athlete wise, it's for ages 8 and up, unless you do horseshoes. For some reason, it's 30 and up, but everything else you do is 8 and up. But the biggest thing I always tell people is you don't pay a dime. Once you get involved, you don't pay anything to participate. So we've really seen that gradually grow. We recently took about 50 total people to the state games, but that was about 27 athletes. 27 of the people were athletes. So that was really cool to step back and think, wow, we've done this in a year. This is our first time going to the summer games in 3 years, I think it was. But if somebody wants to become an athlete, you just have to go through fill out the paperwork. There's an application you fill out, and there's also like a medical form you have to have filled out with your doctor, and just turn that in. We turn that into the state, and then you can participate in practices or our Unified Fitness Club that meets weekly. You can do that too. And if you want to be a volunteer, you kind of go through this, a little bit of the same process. It's an online video. You have to go through and watch that, and you have to pass the each section, and then you become a Class A volunteer is what they call that. So that just means that you can just go and interact with the athletes, and you can be able to help them in any way if they need it. So
and what
it's a really easy process. So
yeah.
What all events are they involved in? Obviously, you said horseshoes is 30 and up. What if I've got an 8-year old I'm interested in getting involved, or a middle schooler, high schooler, what events are they going to be involved with?
The one good thing about us getting what they call a unified fitness club going is that is year round, no matter what. So there's always that going on. Otherwise, you might have to wait for a certain sport in a certain season. So the Unified Fitness Club meets weekly. We've done it on Thursday evenings at 6. And we just meet to just, you can just do whatever. It's really laid back. There's no pressure. If you don't want to do something or if you need to take a break, we don't look at you and say, what are you doing? I mean, you just do it at your pace. But
there's no Bobby Knight coaching.
I think I've tried to hold back from throwing any chairs or anything so far. But, one thing that's been really cool is I think it was about last August. I knew some of the trainers at Anytime Fitness in Seymour. Mm-hmm. I don't work out or anything. Don't get that thought. But
neither do I.
I know them, so I reached out to them and say, hey, would you be interested in coming and partnering with us and coming to our Unified Fitness Club once a week or once a month? I'm sorry. So they've been pretty much doing that every month since August, I think it was.
Wow.
So they'll come and put us through a workout. And at first, 3 days later, I would still feel that I had done that workout. So it was a good workout. But now I think my body's kind of adjusted to that somehow. I don't know how that happened, but I'm not saying I'm athletic or anything. But that's been a really good partnership because they are super with our athletes. And,
that's awesome.
And just everybody. And I mean, it's been really cool to see that. So we've done that. We've even had somebody come a few times and do yoga with us. We also had a lady come once and do a body rock class with us. That was a lot of dancing. So again, not my forte, but it was fun though, just to see the interaction, and they're so positive with our athletes and with our volunteers. So,
I'm sure the kids love it.
I mean, that's
cool for them to be active and even to do and try some different things. Mm-hmm. I think that would be awesome.
Our first sport that we did was softball last summer, and believe it or not, we're already doing a call out tomorrow night for the next softball season. I can't believe it's already been a year, but we did that last year. We got to compete in tournaments. We competed in a big tournament up in Greenwood and did a few others, and then got to do a sectional. So that was fun to get to do that. We went down to Corden and did that. That was one instance where you had to qualify to go to the summer or to the fall games, and we didn't do that. But if you keep winning, you can go to that. And then we went in and did basketball. We did several tournaments with that, and that was a lot of fun. We had three teams with that. Ended up with two teams at the end. That was 3-on-3 and 5-on-5, so that was a lot of fun. We did really well with that, had a lot of fun. And then we went in to do track and field and horseshoes. So this kind of goes by season, what you want to pick and what everybody's interested in. So.
And is that, like anybody in the county? Uh-huh. Or maybe, I don't know if it's outside. I don't know if that is even restricted, but it's, do you meet in Seymour?
Yeah. A lot of our stuff, our practice and stuff are in Seymour because it's kind of a central location.
Right.
But we have had a handful of athletes come from the Hayden or North Vernon area because either it's closer for them or they just want to be involved in our program because we go out there and it's fun if you win or whatever, but that's not what it's all about. If we don't win, it doesn't matter. Just so they're having fun and having a good time and getting a lot out of it.
Yeah.
But some programs are a little bit more like, oh, we want to win, or we've got to have people out there that are going to do good. But from our perspective, it's about giving them the opportunity.
Yeah.
And we should never go to an event and not everybody's participated.
Yeah.
So we really try to make sure of that too.
Very cool.
So,
and I think that's really important. Obviously, you want to be competitive, but these are kids that, or adults that haven't always had that opportunity to be involved in something, and to be able to be out and involved is huge. And you don't want to turn them off to it by, them going and they just sit the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been fun too, because you were asking about the age ranges. I know our youngest person that we have now is a fifth grader. So it went all the way up to that. And then I think one thing we kind of maybe determined why horseshoes is the way it is for 30 and up, because that kind of, we were kind of thinking maybe it's one of those things where you're still making sure that, maybe that age group or up can make sure you have something that they feel that they are good at or they can compete in. If they don't want to, if they think track or something seems overwhelming to them. But that was one thing with horseshoes. It was a lot of fun because we had 9 people go up to the summer games with that. And me and another person from our county management team took the 3-mile walk. We didn't know it was a 3-mile walk, but into the park from where we were staying, where the Indiana State campus was, and we walked 3 miles to this park, and we didn't know it was that far. But that's another story. But it was neat to go though, because Now next year we want to go back and do unified doubles horseshoes with them.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
So what that means, which maybe you've figured out what unified means at this point, but I could go and compete with one of our special needs athletes, and we would compete as a team, and you can go and win medals. I mean, that's what there was another program there that they were getting medals in unified doubles. I don't care about a medal, but if I can help somebody else get a medal, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So. You know, and that's the coolest thing. You know, when I go back to the unified track program that the IHSA is running now, our wrestling team and our girls basketball team partnered with a lot of our athletes. And I remember the first day I went out to watch them and they were doing long jump. And those kids, when some of our athletes struggled at some of the events, it built such a confidence in some of those special needs kids, because it wasn't, okay, they're not good at everything.
Yeah.
You know, and our kids were so good with laughing about it. And look at what I did. I tripped. I did this. And, you know, building that bond between the two of them, it was amazing. And you know, we were lucky enough. We were the sectional winners in unified track. And to see that picture, that's probably one of the proudest pictures I got to take this year, was with that group, because, you know, we won several sectionals in different sports this year, but to be with that group and see both those partners, it's just a really cool program. So that's awesome too, that even in you know, years ahead, you can still do the same thing.
Yeah.
That was one thing with my job too, is I got to cover that and my involvement in Special Olympics. We had a couple of our athletes that actually were on the high school unified team. So I went to several of their meets, and it's such a fun environment, just like I was saying with the stuff about Champions Together and the unified program, Special Olympics. I just don't know how you can go to one of those events and not leave feeling really good about yourself and just what you just saw. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So we're here at about 50 minutes. We usually go about an hour, Zach, and I want to ask you this, because you said before we came on that this was going to be a little bit of a role reversal.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Because
you're used to being the one to ask the questions.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just going to ask, I mean, did we do an okay job? Neither one of us have a journalism background. So.
Not at all.
I mean, if we were hiring at this point, I'd be more than happy to give you guys an opportunity. You're welcome to submit something or whatever. Write a story for us. We're happy if you do that one.
Like I said, I do. I really appreciate, to kind of wrap up here, I appreciate all that you do. Not only I talked a lot about how you cover the community, but also your involvement in the community. And that's why I wanted to kind of make this a two-part interview. Obviously, I was very interested to hear about your journalism background and the stories you've covered in the community. But I've been so impressed watching it through Facebook. There's good and bad to social media.
Right.
But watching your involvement in Special Olympics and the passion you have for it. So I appreciate not only what you cover in our community, but that you're also an active participant as well. So
Yeah, I think it's one thing, whenever I did sports and I was so involved and I, you know, was trying to balance everything, it was really hard to get involved in things. But honestly, it seems like once I got done and switched out of sports, I was able to get involved in things. And I am involved in Leadership Jackson County as well, and went through that class and that program. And I've been on the board since then. And they're just good organizations to be a part of. Again, it's something you don't get paid for, but it doesn't really take a lot of your time, and you get a lot out of it. And then you know that the community and the program gets a lot out of it, and you're helping a good organization. So I just think, you know, if people can have the opportunity to get involved in something, find something. I mean, there has to be something out there. There's a lot of good things in the community, the organizations and opportunities to get involved. So, you know, there's no reason to say, well, there's nothing to get involved with, or because there, if you look somewhere, somebody's always looking for help, or even if it's donating money or whatever it is, there's ways to help. So
And if you look and there's not that person there, be that person.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing, too.
This is the day and age to where you're exactly right. I mean, you could get a group together to start something, you know, a group or whatever. So, I mean, if you've got an idea, I mean, and it's not there, you can always obviously start that.
Yeah, and going off of that a little bit, too, is, you know, I appreciate what you said about what I do, but also it's not just me doing it. It's not just me working at the newspaper. It's not just me doing Special Olympics. It takes other people with that same interest, that same drive, that same enthusiasm to get things done. I mean, I couldn't write a story, four or five stories every day. We have other good people at the paper that do a lot of good work, and they have also developed good relationships with people in the community and tell good stories and go out and find the good stories. There's people in Special Olympics that it takes our whole committee. I mean, it's not, you know, it took a whole committee of us to go up to Terre Haute and just make sure everything was how it was supposed to be, or to make sure week to week that we have Unified Fitness Club set. And, you know, it's a lot of people coming together to do good things, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. So,
yeah.
And that's a huge point, because I do want to say the Tribune, I think, is one of the best small town papers I've been around. And I still consider Seymour a small town, because it hasn't moved on to one of the frustrating things. And if I was telling my honest opinion why I think a lot of papers are dying, even the bigger papers, is it's all become AP articles. It's all Associated Press articles, and it's the same stuff I can get on USA Today and read for free. What I appreciate about the Tribune and all the staff there is there's still a real focus. I understand that you're going to pull some AP articles because it's national news, world news, but it's still focused on our community, what's going on here, and that's first and foremost, and that's the most impressive thing. So to you and all the staff at the Tribune, I appreciate what you guys do, and the entire staff at the Jackson County Special Olympics, I appreciate it. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to come down here and talk with us. You know, we were excited to have you on and kind of hear your perspective of journalism and everything. And so if you can go follow Zach on social media, go subscribe to the Tribune. Like I said, whether you do just the online subscription, I still enjoy the full 6-day subscription with the newspaper. Even if all I do is bring it in, some days that's all I
I still cut stuff out of the paper. I just did some the other day, and it's like, I'll just, and then I've got it for not, I mean, I don't really know what I'm not like a scrapbooker, but I may usually give it to his mom because she's more of the scrapbooker, and I'll say, here.
I've had a lady here recently come in, and she's collected all the newspapers that her sons have ever been in. She's putting a scrapbook together. There's another gentleman that wanted the online version of every story that his daughter's been in the paper about. So, I mean, that kind of shows you there. Hey, people do still read what you put out there. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's amazing to me, you know, the power of a picture and a story together, because I can just be flipping through and be like, okay, that looks cool. The headline's catchy. And then sit and read the entire article and then be interested to learn more about it, you know, and that's, that's what you guys do a lot of. So, again, thank you. I wish you the best in everything you do.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you being here, and you are welcome back anytime you want to come and talk some more.
Okay, what do you have doing next Sunday?
Right now, we're actually open.
Yeah, we'll find another topic.
So, all right. Well, everybody else, thank you for joining us. Like I said, we will be back. We've got some things in the works coming up here with some different people to hopefully have on here throughout the rest of June and July. Looking at some different topics, some local people, and so be sure to join us. So thank you, and again, thanks to our sponsors, Miller's Termite and Pest Control, Tommy Taylor Farm Bureau Insurance, and Beauty from Ashes Tattoo Parlor in Crothersville, Indiana. So again, Zach, thank you, and we wish you all the best.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you.